from the live stream studios in Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplant Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are joined on our live chat by our live blog guru, Jamie Snowden, as well as the Cheesehead TV marketing director, Alex Talish, along with the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere. So, Mr. Banky, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Aaron and I will talk about everything Packers eventually, but we all know why we're here. It's because of the pending departure of one Randall Cobb from the Green Bay Packers. In honor of that possibility, what better way to kick it off than with the good, the bad, and the ugly? We got the good. We got
not paying a slot wide receiver $12 million.
We got the bad. We got
getting rid of Aaron Rodgers' security blanket.
And we got the ugly. We got
blowing up the idea of draft and develop. Because make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, that's what allowing Cobb to leave would be. There we go. Mr. Banky, checking audio as always. First off-season transplants. How the hell are you, Mr. Banky?
I love last-minute transplants.
Yeah, last minute, baby. That's how we do it. That's
look at
how
all
we
this
do
paper
it.
I have.
But Corey's got a lot of paper.
Paper.
He's got made a lot of notes. He's read a lot of stuff on the internet. He's got points to make, ladies and gentlemen. But before we get there, you, ladies and gentlemen, have the opportunity tonight to win a very special prize. Something that was brought to our attention by some friends of ours, and Corey allowed me to be the model here this evening. This is from our friends at Handmade by Heroes. This is pretty dope. This is handmade. It's a handmade bracelet you're seeing right now. Corey, what do they have to tweet out?
I just put it up. You want to lift up a little higher. There you go.
There you go. That's it's pretty awesome, people. What is it? I'm watching Packer Transplants.
I'm watching Packer Transplants on Cheesehead TV, sponsored by Wisco Disco Beer.
So put it out there, ladies and gentlemen. You regulars know that's what you got to tweet out to let everyone know that you're watching this program live. And Alex Talish will randomly select one of you to receive this very bracelet in the mail. And let me tell you why this thing is so cool. If you're not familiar with Handmade by Heroes, they've partnered with a very special program that teaches service-disabled veterans a trade that is both therapeutic and financially rewarding. They hire them to craft all of their bracelets out of parachute cord, a cordage that is sought for its immense durability, and serves as a symbol of strength of disabled veterans everywhere. That is what this is made out of. That is pretty awesome. So make sure you tweet it out, put it out there on the Twitter, and Alex Talish will let you know. Meanwhile, Corey Banky will try to solve whatever audio issue he's trying to solve. I can hear myself, so that's good.
It's echoey.
It's echoey. You know,
it doesn't sound like this is working.
Oh boy. That's not good. Not a good thing.
I know. It's weird.
It's not a good thing. Not a good thing, people. But Corey's going to, like, stroll you through. I'll just talk louder. So I'll get caught on Corey's mic.
My mic is working. I wish your mic was working better. Yeah, yours is working. It's just echoey.
Mine is probably perfunctory at this point. You know, it's really, because it's really your show.
Yeah. Banky. Yeah, it really is.
I mean, it's kind of what this is shaping up to be. Because let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, whether, you know, Randall Cobb stays or whether Randall Cobb goes, Corey Banky's going to be upset about something. And that is always the way it happens. So let me just lay this out here. When I say in the ugly that, you know, this will be the blowing up of the draft and develop method. Okay, that's a little hyperbolic. I understand that. However, if you look at the rhetoric throughout the Ted Thompson, you know, reign, so to speak, as general manager, draft and develop has been the mantra. It has been the MO, so to speak. And Randall Cobb has done everything Other than get
hurt. I fixed it.
That one last year and miss a bunch of games. He has been a model citizen, both on the field and off. He has produced at a high level, especially in his contract year, which as a player is when you want to do it. He has proven to work in concert, not only with the offense, but with the quarterback, the superstar quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, which is obviously paramount if you are a wide receiver in this offense. He's shown an innate ability to not only do what is asked of him, but freelance when necessary in concert with the quarterback. He has absolutely, you know, done everything that you could ever want out of anyone that you would like to call Packer people. If we go all the way back to Mike McCarthy's opening press conference where he coined the phrase Packer people, we want Packer people. Well, Randall Cobb is Packer people, and now he's here, and now he wants to get paid. What do you think of that, Corey?
Here's exactly what I think. Those of you that are on Twitter, you know what I think. But
No.
That's what I think right there.
All right. Now, see.
That is what I think, Nagler.
Should we read this for those of our listeners
later on?
If
the Packers fail.
Who will be listening to this?
If the Packers fail to sign Randall Cobb, they probably forfeit the chance to play in Super Bowl 50.
Okay. And what
They were in the first Super Bowl. I would like them to be in the 50th Super Bowl.
Okay.
We were one.
Play.
No, we were away. One. Why can I never remember his name? Oh, that's right, because he's cut.
Oh, no. Don't be cruel.
Oh,
don't
man. It's hard. It's hard not to be.
One Brandon Bostic.
One Brandon Bostic away from the Super Bowl. One All BB
right.
away.
All right. But you know what? This wasn't meant to be.
Here's my thing, okay?
They're meant to be in 50, though.
I'm a Twitter.
If they say Randall Cobb.
I'm a Twitter troll because people are stupid on Twitter, okay? They're really dumb.
We're what? Not 5 minutes into the show.
Okay.
Corey's calling people stupid.
2015, people. Mm-hmm. Okay? You have to start with the premise of, is 2015 what it's all about? Okay? If it's not about 2015, then you can talk all the crap you want. Okay?
Now, how do you mean?
All I get on Twitter is people are like, okay, number one, anybody who calls Randall Cobb just a slot receiver
right.
is kidding themselves.
Okay.
First off.
But would you agree that he is more effective in the slot?
I would. There are things that I would agree with Bob McGinn that actually he was a better receiver in 2014 than Jordy Nelson. He had.
Yes.
Did you read the article?
I read the article. That's adorable. But yes, down the stretch, I would agree with that premise. He was, but only because there was added attention to one Mr. Jordy Nelson. It helps when you've got a number one wide receiver taking the best corner and safety help away from you in the slot.
Especially
that helps.
Especially when you don't have a tight end.
Well, you do. You're developing one.
Yeah.
But yes, in 2014, I would agree with that.
Yes.
Assessment. Yes. Absolutely.
Had we had a tight end, and my point pretty much is if we had a tight end, Randall Cobb would be a little bit more expendable.
But you can't say what Richard Rodgers is going to do from year one to year two when players traditionally make
the biggest jump
of their careers.
Here's what I can say.
Right?
I can say that Randall Cobb was 11th in the NFL in yards.
Is this are these stats from ESPN?
ESPN, they are from ESPN.
Just for you, Rob Domofsky.
9th in receptions, 7th in yards after the catch, 3rd in plays of 20-plus yards with 24, and 4th in touchdowns with 12. Now, people are going to be like, Aaron Rodgers. I already know all the things you're going to come at me with this.
It is like a political debate where people have their bullet points and they shoot their bullets and then their gun is empty and they got nothing else. So yes, like everyone's got their counterpoint to whatever point anyone on the other side makes. And I get that. I get that.
And I read the Ty Dunn article, right? That
all
other
right,
people
all right.
pointed in my face, right?
Right
that
right.
Okay. And Ty, I love Ty.
Gotta love Ty.
I love Ty.
We should call him. Let's just call him.
He's
randomly.
Not watching the show right now.
But we should
just
call him randomly.
I'm scared to turn on the Skype because you tweeted out the number. So
yeah,
I'm kind of
scared.
Call
us.
I think there's going to be a lot
of hate
mail.
We'll turn it on live later when we've said what we want to say.
Okay. So here's my problem. If you don't start with the premise of 2015, okay, everything has to start with that premise. If you believe that the Packers, 2015 does not matter, okay, and 2016 and 2017 are the part of the window.
Anybody thinks 2015 doesn't matter.
But the way people talk, that's okay. Basically
now
the premise goes out the window. Okay?
But
another.
I will allow you to make your point.
Here's one of the things. One of the things. Okay.
You have so much paper.
Jordy Nelson as the number one is still one of the best number ones. Has proven he can play inside. Okay, so Jordy plays inside.
Right.
Who's playing?
Who's outside? Right.
Hello.
I know, you need more than one there, buddy.
That's why they signed. That's why the Dallas Cowboys signed Des Bryant.
I hear you.
Because they ain't got nobody.
And they got Cole Beasley that they just signed.
They got a whole bunch of nothing.
And Terrence Williams is good.
I don't even think. The Packers have replaced dangerous slot weapons before. Again, now if you don't believe in 2015, yes. Does anybody in their right mind believe that Ted Thompson is going to go in free agency and get a wide receiver?
Nope.
No one who knows the Packers believes that.
Nope. Not even for a second.
Who is he going to get?
Nobody. He's
okay,
not gonna get anybody
and that was the most interesting thing Ty said is the Julius Thomas thing, which also Bob McGinn said.
Yeah.
Do you believe?
No chance. No flipping chance. Are you kidding me?
And that's all I get
Are
on
you
Twitter.
Flipping kidding
when
me?
When people tell me that Ted Thompson is going
go
to get somebody in free agency,
come on.
I'm like, please,
come on,
please,
people.
Please.
Come
I know
on, people.
You're under 30, so you've only watched the Packers win, and that kind of goes back to that,
oh,
dude.
No.
It's like
you're going to take it to another level. Wait, but before we get there. Let me just say this. Okay. And I get this. I get everything you're saying right now. All right. But just because the offense operated in this way that it did in 2014 doesn't mean that's how it's going to operate in 2015. Now, case in point, what Ty just mentioned and you just brought up about Jordy Nelson kicking into the slot. When Randall Cobb went down, that's exactly what they did. Prior to Aaron Rodgers' injury, which really screwed everything up, you go back to that Minnesota game the week before Aaron got hurt, and that's one of the greatest performances of Jordy Nelson's career from the slot.
Mm-hmm.
He has two amazing touchdowns.
He's a better slot receiver, I think.
He's great from the slot. He's great outside. He's a great wide receiver. They will adapt, no matter if Randall is there, which would be great, or if Randall is gone.
Okay. Okay,
but allow me to finish.
I will. I got something for that already.
I'm sure you do. But allow me to finish.
No.
People are so caught up in if Randall's so clutch, he's so great in the slot, he's so this, he's so that. That's all well and good, and that is all true. But as Bob pointed out in his piece, which you asked me if I read.
At the end.
If you asked me if I read.
At the end of it, he pointed it out.
In the salary structure, you're not going to put Randall Cobb at $12 million or whatever he's asking. We'll get to that in a little bit. Over Jordy Nelson, who probably, let's be fair here, Jordy Nelson probably took a bit less than he could have made on the open market.
But Bob, okay, are you done with your point yet? I feel like you've made 2 points now.
I'm making all sorts of points. Just let me talk. All right? So that's not going to happen under Ted Thompson's watch. It's just not. So you let him walk. And you develop other guys. There's a reason. No. Remember the end of
again,
the draft last year?
You just
year?
Threw 2015 out the window.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
Remember last year when everyone was going, when we were going into last summer, we were going to training camp. What's going to happen at the center position? We've got all these unproven people at the center position. What are we going to do about the center position? What happened at the center position?
A center.
We had a guy that no one in the public had seen do anything, who the Packers had seen, who they had faith in. Played really well in the preseason before he got hurt. Oh, and then a rookie came in and played lights out. Okay? What did they do last year in the draft? They took a ton of receivers, and everyone was like, why are they taking all these receivers? Well,
I didn't say that.
But a lot of people did.
Yeah.
Where are all these receivers coming from? Well, I'll tell you why. In case Randall Cobb, in his contract year, blew up and needed and wanted a bunch of money.
Of course.
Which is exactly what happened, which is why you saw those guys drafted last year. Now, everyone's like, Jeff Janis didn't play all last year. The Packers know what they have there, just like they knew what they had in J.C. Treader.
I get you.
They know somewhat what they have with Abadaris, who got hurt early on, but showed flashes early in camp. I'm just saying, there's a reason these guys were drafted. It's what Ted does. He looks ahead.
I agree with you, but here's what I'm saying, okay? Two things to just point against your points, okay? Mm-hmm. Number one, as the NFL analyst for Sports Illustrated,
yes, sir.
Can I ask you this?
Sure.
Who was the last Wookiee wide receiver? I'm like
it.
The guy on. Who was the last rookie wide receiver to make an impact in his rookie year?
Last year in the Giants.
Okay.
Odell Beckham Jr.
But he did it, what, late in the season?
Well, late in the season.
Okay, second point,
hurt.
Second point. Bad hamstrings. Second point. All right. And this goes to what the Packers did this year, okay?
Right.
There's a stat that Rob Domofsky put out there.
Also, by the way, Davante Adams had a pretty big impact.
Davante Adams had a great impact. But he wasn't, okay.
I know,
so,
he wasn't a difference maker. I will give you that.
Here's the thing, right?
Okay. All right, second point.
Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson were responsible for approximately 60% of the offense.
Right. Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, and they were pretty even. Bob McGinn gave Randall Cobb an A-, and he gave Jordy Nelson a B+.
I know, I saw.
Okay?
Yeah.
So where exactly are you seeing that 30%? So it's going to be like 5% from Devontae, 2% from Jeff Janis, and then a couple
and
more percent from Richard Rodgers.
As I tweeted out, which you conveniently didn't screen capture, but I will point out, you know, last year it was, where is all the production going to come from that we used to get from JerMichael Finley? The year before that, it was, where are we going to get all the production that we used to get from Greg Jennings? And the beat goes on. You know, it's like offenses evolve. McCarthy will evolve. Look, okay, as the NFL analyst for Sports Illustrated, I will point out to you, what happened 2 years ago when everyone was freaking out about Tom Brady and his lack of receivers and all of this production they had lost from Wes Welker, etc. All these guys had walked out the door and they were like, all the national media was talking about how 80% of the production from the offense is all gone. Like, but that team went to the AFC Championship
game. But you just said
team,
2 years ago.
And that team didn't have half the talent
so
the
again,
Packers will have on hand.
We're basically throwing out 2015.
We're not. This Packers team is still stocked.
That's the reality, people. It is the reality.
And the offense will... like
we have $33 million. Why would we not pay one of the stars of our team the money? They
and
want?
That's why. And that's why.
That's
I
what
say,
I don't
draft
get.
Draft and develop.
Sorry.
Blowing up the draft.
Exactly.
And
what is the point of drafting Randall Cobb
And
having this
him.
And developing him and giving him to the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Oakland Raiders? What is the point of that?
I agree with that.
There is no point.
But now you now set that precedent where you've given Randall Cobb, let's say, $12 million a year because that's what he wants.
I don't think he's getting... Nobody thinks he's going to get 12.
He's going to get it when he gets to the free agent market. I love all these people who say that he's not going to get anywhere close to that on the free agent market. He's totally going to get that on the free agent market.
Let's look at the wide receiver contract because I've got that here.
Do it. Because those don't matter now.
Now, what I think...
Teams with $60 million worth
of cap. No, I totally get it. I totally get that.
Out there,
but
he is going to get...
Here's the thing, right?
PAID paid.
He's
going to
get paid, but what I kind of think... this is what... And this is the fanboy in me, which I love on Twitter when people call me fanboys.
Yes!
I am a fanboy. I love it when people call me a reputable blogger.
That's scary.
I'm just like, really? What is wrong with you?
That's somebody who hasn't done the research.
So here's my hope, right? Here's my hope.
Yeah.
And this is like digging into the bowels of the fanboy inside of me, right? Is that they find a way, because what's the big thing in the NFL that you can have a little bit more leverage on than just paying somebody straight up? Mm-hmm. You can have more guaranteed money.
Right.
So there is a possibility. When you look at the chart over here, you can see some guys are more guaranteed than others.
Right.
And so they move the balance around. So like, oh, no, I can't give you $11 million, but I'll give you 10% more guaranteed.
Right.
You know, which obviously has downside for the Packers on the injury side.
I am glad that you brought this up because I think this is exactly how they end up retaining Cobb. I think it will, much like Sam Shields last year, and I know I'm not the first to say this, and I know it's not an original thought. I think a lot of people have had this thought. I think it will happen just as it did with Sam Shields, with Drew Rosenhaus. You've got Jimmy Sexton here, who has been a notorious thorn in the side of the Packers throughout the years. You know, they are going to wait till the last second.
Of course.
And I think playing around with the guaranteed money, he will get something, some nice little sweetener up front. Because the Packers, that's what they do. They pay as they go. They always have under Ted Thompson and Russ Ball, and that's what they will continue to do. So they will get some kind of sweetener to offset what he could have made out on the market, and then he will end up falling in line, so to speak. He'll probably end up roughly around where Jordy is, maybe just a tick below, just to preserve that precious salary structure. But he will get his money. He will get paid, and he will stay in Green Bay. Because as you said, what is the point?
What's the point?
Why are you drafting and developing and letting guys walk out the door as talented as Randall Cobb? It makes no sense.
I mean, I do think that, you know, where did I? I do want to mention the Julius Peppers contract. Because that has to have some bearing here. Okay. I know it has nothing to do with, like, they're nothing to do with each other.
I mean, I get you.
There's two things I want to kind of bitch about, right?
Okay.
One is,
why are we here if we can't bitch?
One is, I can't stand when fans, the market is the market.
Right.
Right? It doesn't matter if it's $12 billion or $12 or $12 million or trillion or whatever, right? The market is the market.
Yep.
What really annoys me is, I guess where I come from, the stupidity that I see on Twitter and on social media is people are always, and we're humans, right? We do this. They're always looking through their own lens of like, well, that $12 million. It's like Randall Cobb has spent his entire life focused on one goal.
Yeah.
And if the market is willing to pay the man, he deserves the money. I'm sorry. Yeah,
absolutely.
So I have a really huge issue with that. And then my other thing is that people have no problem with the fact that we're paying Julius Peppers $9.5 million and he's 35 years old.
Right.
Well, and we're taking a $12 million cap hit.
Some people have a problem with that.
But we're taking a $12 million cap hit, and then all of a sudden they have a problem with Randall Cobb. I have an issue with that.
There's a dichotomy.
And I think the Jordy Nelson making more, I think Jordy Nelson understands when he signs his contract.
Yeah, it's outdated the moment he signs it.
Yeah, it's like buying a car. As soon as you take it off the lot, it's worth less.
Absolutely. And there, I totally agree with that. To add on to what you just said in regards to, you know, the whole, I love the idea that, you know, Randall Cobb shouldn't want to make more money. He should want to stay for the rings and to play with Aaron Rodgers.
No, screw that.
He's played with Aaron Rodgers, dude. And he's awesome. But he wants to go make a ton of money.
That's not reality.
I do not begrudge a guy for a second for that at all. But at the same time, you look at the history of wide receivers who have left Green Bay and this offense and this quarterback and gone other places. It ain't pretty.
Yeah, well, speaking of
that, enjoy your money.
Yes.
But also enjoy sucking on a team that goes nowhere.
Well, and that goes to two things. It goes to one, you know, if he's, a lot of people are saying, and I've read a couple articles that are like, if he stays here, he helps himself 4 years
from now, and
you can look at the Greg Jennings. People compared to Greg Jennings, and I'm like, Greg Jennings was on his second bite at the Apple when we told him to go away.
And we didn't even tell him to go away. We offered him, the Packers offered him a decent contract. He just went to the Vikings.
But if there's a time to take, my point is, if there's a time to take the money,
now
it's in the sunset of your career on that second part.
Do it now. Because your knee, because your knee could blow out tomorrow. You got it. You got to maximize. That's what Sean Gilbert has done such a great job with Darrelle Revis. Where every time this guy, and they're going through it right now, he's probably going to hit the market next Tuesday. And Darrelle Revis, who just won a Super Bowl, and is set to cash in big time again. This guy has made so much money because he's taken a hard line and been, this is what I'm worth, you're going to pay me, no matter what's happened. And now he's not willing to take a pay cut for the Patriots. The Patriots, who just won the Super Bowl. I mean, that's what players should
do. But why
be
should
doing.
He take a pay cut? He already won the Super Bowl.
Precisely.
What else does he have to do?
Exactly.
Just get paid.
Just get paid, and he's going to. So
what do you think of this?
What's that?
I'm showing it right now.
Oh, boy. I found the timing of this tweet. For those of you listening later, this is Randall Cobb's tweet. Rule number one, don't believe everything you hear in the media. All right, and I love the
that was retweeted a lot more times than mine, by the way.
And I can't imagine why.
I wonder.
First of all, let's totally break it down and say everything you hear in the media. So clearly he's talking about radio. He's not talking about print or internet.
I think he's taking all of it.
Yeah, he probably is. You're right.
You're such like a journalist, semantic. Okay, Jason Wilde.
I'm kidding. Anyway, so yeah, don't believe anything. I love the timing of this because this came out. He tweeted this the day Jason LaCanfora's report kind of blew up. I think some friends of ours in the Packers blogosphere, Acme Packing Company, had really glommed onto this and were pumping it up in regards to the Packers have moved on from Randall Cobb and we're focusing on Brian Bulaga. And this was after the report of Randall Cobb wanting $9 million had come out a few days before that.
So those two reports were hard on each other, and then Randall tweeted this. And then a week later, Tom Silverstein's report came out that actually Jimmy Sexton's at the combine telling people he wants $12 million. $12 million for Randall Cobb.
I mean, it's not.
So,
I mean, when
Randall, you're right. I shouldn't have believed that you wanted $9 million. You really wanted $12 million. Okay. All right.
With Bob McGinn saying Mike Wallace. He had a 5-year contract from Miami averaging 12 and contained $30 million in guarantees.
And is a total punk who has no heart and will not go over the middle.
But,
and
like,
has
it's
like
not
no want to.
It's not an out-of-bounds number here.
No, at all. I agree. Although Mike Wallace is supposedly a number one wide receiver, which is a joke.
But that's the thing. It's like, if you say he's worth the money, people are like, he's a slot receiver. Well, he's not a slot receiver. And to your point,
he's valuable in the offense. Every player has value. That's the thing.
But he's
every
not just
single
a, he's
player
not
has
your,
a value.
He's not your typical slot receiver.
No,
here's
at
why.
All.
Here's
at
why.
All.
To
agree.
Your point about the Packers, how you were like, how people were like, oh, Finley's gone. What are we going to do?
Right.
Right. To your point about what the Packers did, guess what? They put Randall Cobb in the backfield.
Yes. Although that wasn't new. They've been doing that for a couple of years.
But they did a lot of it.
They went to it more.
They did a lot of it.
Absolutely.
And it became a critical piece of their offense, by the way.
Who's to say?
You cannot put Devontae Adams in the backfield or Jordy Nelson in the backfield and people take you seriously. I'm sorry.
Who cares about taking you seriously? What if we go to camp next year and Jeff Janis is in the backfield?
Come on with the Jeff Janis.
You don't know. That's my point. The Packers know. This is what drives me insane. When people are like, oh, he's totally unproven. J.C. Treader was totally unproven. The Packers knew. They saw him in practices. We did broke him down on tape every day for months. We didn't. The Packers did. The Packers have had Jeff Janis not suiting up for a year, but at practice working out for them every day in the offense, on the scout team, etc. They know what he can do. Mike McCarthy gave him lip service at the combine. They know what he can do. I'm not here to say Jeff Janis is the easy replacement for Randall Cobb. Of course not.
Because you'd be freaking crazy by saying that.
But you adapt. You develop your dudes, and you adapt your offense to their strengths. And that's what Mike's done throughout his entire tenure, and that's what he will do.
I don't disagree with that.
I don't
want
Randall.
Certain people,
I don't want Randall
can,
to leave.
There are certain people you cannot replace and win.
Okay.
There are certain people you cannot replace in 1 year and win.
That's absurd.
It's true.
That's absurd.
It's like when we got Reggie White. You cannot replace a guy like Reggie White, dude.
I know you didn't just compare Randall Cobb to Reggie White. I know
I
you didn't. I know I am
I
not
did.
That drunk.
I did.
I know it.
I did. There are certain people. Do you dis? Okay. Maybe,
yes, I disagree. Do
okay,
I disagree?
Maybe.
Yes, I disagree that Randall Cobb is anywhere near the talent that Reggie White
That's
was.
Not what I'm asking you. Do you agree or disagree that there are certain players in the NFL,
yes,
that
are difference makers,
yes,
that tilt the
and
balance.
And if you don't
to your
have
field,
enough of those players,
yes,
you will not win the Super
yes.
Bowl.
Yes, okay, those are two different sentiments, though. What you just said, the words that just came out of your mouth are two totally different sentiments.
Everybody's if agreeing you with you, by the way, which is the weirdest show ever. Like, literally, everyone's agreeing with you.
If you don't have enough talented players on your side of the ball, yes. Of course, you need those to win. You need those to chalk up the W's, to move the football, to et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I get all that. But true difference makers, Randall Cobb does not take games over. Randall Cobb is not a difference maker. Yes, he has caught some clutch
passes. Oh,
really?
What about kick returns that he's returned? What about the Chicago game in the playoffs at the end of the game that actually put us in the playoffs?
An amazing play that the Bears completely blew. But it's a great play. It's a great play. However, a kick return. I love it when people bring up his value as a kick returner. I'm sorry, who on the current Packers squad is tied with Desmond Howard and somebody else?
I'm sorry.
For number
who's,
of punt
who's
returns
seventh
for a
in
touchdown?
The NFL in yards after the catch?
Don't change the subject.
Seventh
now.
In the NFL in
Micah
yards after
Hyde
the catch.
Micah Hyde is tied for the all-time punt returns. We keep putting Randall Cobb back there, much to Packer fans' chagrin. He doesn't bust him. Micah Hyde's busting him. Randall Cobb ain't busting. I'm just saying, he's got value. I totally understand this. And I'm all for paying him a ton of money up front to keep him in the fold, which is exactly, again, which is what I think is going to happen.
And here's what happens.
But
you yourself will say this.
Irreplaceable.
I should have pulled up shows. No, he's not irreplaceable. But he's irreplaceable if you want
to
win the Super Bowl in 2015.
That's ridiculous. ridiculous.
I believe it.
It's ridiculous.
And when we don't sign him and we don't win the Super Bowl, I'll be right.
What? No, that is totally... I can't.
I'm going to say it all season.
I'm really trying.
I'm going to be like, we would have won the Super Bowl, but we don't have Randall
Cobb.
What
I love about that tweet, though, I will say about your tweet, which is you put the word probably in there, which I appreciate, because you weren't like, if they do this,
well, I am a fanboy.
No, but probably. No, because that's smart. That's right. Because there's a billion other factors that go into
it. Of course.
Getting to the Super Bowl, much less winning it. So
you can say bullshit.
I know. I try not to.
Oh, it's the internet, bro.
Fuck all that.
Take some calls? I feel like we should take some calls.
Wait. Let me just... I still have things.
Okay, then do your things.
Okay. Do you think...
Yes.
...that Randall Cobb is better than Brandon Marshall?
It's very hard to say because they're asked to do very different things. I think Brandon Marshall can be taken out of a game a lot easier if he doesn't get involved early on. Randall Cobb just waits. Randall Cobb will not do anything until the fourth quarter and then catch a touchdown pass to kill you. Brandon Marshall, if he doesn't get involved early, he pouts and quits on routes and throws his hands up in disgust at Jay Cutler. But you never see that from Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb is still like going balls out fourth quarter, hasn't caught a pass, but he's going to kill you on that route no matter what. So... in regards of who I'd rather have, I'd rather have Randall Cobb.
Do you think that there's any way humanly possible for Ted Thompson to bring in any kind of free agent wide receiver or tight end for the 2015 season?
Is there a way possible? Sure.
Yeah. Come on.
Is it going to happen?
Is it probable? Is it likely?
No. Of course not.
So no Julius Thomas?
No. Come on, people. This is Ted Thompson, yo. Now, what will happen is Ted Thompson or one of his people will call the agent of Julius Thomas and say, hey, love to have you in. Love to talk to you. We're thinking, and the agent will say, well, what are you thinking? Because we're talking to X, Y, and Z. And they will say, well, we're thinking of about, right about here, which is whatever number fits into their salary structure, and it will be lower than what Thomas's agent wants to hear.
Uh-huh.
But the Packers will be like, this is the number we're thinking. If you go out and you don't like what you hear, we're here. We're ready. We're waiting. It's what they do with every free agent. They do it with all the free agents. The free agents of interest, anyway. And eventually, because it's the NFL and people pay ridiculously stupid money for free agents, especially in the first week of free agency, they never get a call back on those guys because they will get stupid money. One of my favorite quotes ever and one of my first blog posts on CheeseheadTV.com was about a quote, something that Tom Silverstein wrote years ago where he said, free agency is paying airport restaurant prices for a hot dog stand talent. And it's true.
I forgot about that.
It is it's one of my favorite. I go back to it every year because it's true. You are paying. You go to JFK out there, right over there. You go to JFK. You're paying $14 for a beer, and you're getting the talent of the $2 hot dog that you bought in Manhattan. It's true, and that's free agency. That's most of free agency. Every once in a while, you will hit on a difference maker. You will find a number that fits and works, etc. But you look at teams like the Eagles. They're getting they're letting go of both their corners. They let go of Kerry Williams yesterday, a free agent that they signed from the Ravens.
The Eagles are not going to the Super Bowl.
They're all excited about Kerry Williams. 2 years later, he's out the door.
Yeah, they're rebuilding.
And what are they doing? Oh, they're going to go out in free agency and find some more cornerbacks.
Yeah, good luck with that.
It's ridiculous. That's free agency.
Okay,
that's free agency around the NFL.
Let me ask you this before we go to blogosphere, then we're going to take calls. Okay.
Yeah.
We will take calls. We might only take one call because I'm a little wary of taking calls.
Corey doesn't like taking calls.
You know what? I didn't set this show up so that I could get yelled at on the phone. All right. So let me ask you this, Nagels.
Yeah.
Who on the Green Bay Packers can the Packers ill afford? Who are the difference makers besides Aaron Rodgers? Besides Aaron Rodgers,
right.
I think everybody agrees with that, right?
Yep.
I mean, you had to look at last season to know.
Yeah.
Who else is a difference maker, and if we lost them...
Tilts the field. Well, Clay Matthews, for one, and I know Packers fans get frustrated with him for good reason, but all you have to do is look at the last two drives of regulation in the NFC Championship game to know that Clay Matthews is a difference maker, because the defense completely fell apart and was unable to stop Seattle once Clay was off the field. On the offensive side, I want to say Jordy, but I don't think he is. I don't think he's a true blue chip, like, once-in-a-lifetime talent. I think he's really great. I love Jordy, and I think he's done everything he can to maximize his talent. He's one of the better wide receivers in the league, but he's not Calvin Johnson. You know, he's not a true difference maker. And that's it for me. We've got Aaron and Clay.
That's it?
Yeah. I mean, really, like, tilt the field, like, blue chip player.
So no Lacy?
No. No, I think Eddie's a really good back. And I think he's great to watch, and I love watching him. But he's got plenty of flaws.
Okay. Know? Who this was on Twitter too, because I had to call somebody out on this one.
Oh no.
Okay. Who is more important to sign?
Okay.
Randall Cobb.
All right.
Brian Bulaga.
Oh, come on. All right, well, first of all, this is a false choice because, you know, these things are separate from each other, and one really has little to do with the other, especially when they're $33 million under the cap. But if I had a choice, if a gun was to my head and you said you got to sign one guy or the other, I would say Randall Cobb. You got to sign Randall Cobb. Because
technically with $33 million.
Right, they could sign both easily.
Yeah, it's not a comparison.
And as good as Brian Bulaga played, as well as Brian Bulaga played last year, and as great as he's been for the Packers, again, a guy you draft and you develop and he plays well and et cetera, and you want to pay him. But they can make it work over there. They can make it work with J.C. Treader. They can make it. I don't want Dom Barclay out there. I know people pencil him in. I know people pencil him in as a possibility, but
I need to drink more beer.
Ladies and gentlemen, no to Dom Barclay at the right tackle.
So Robert Greenfield,
but you could draft a tackle.
Robert Greenfield from Packer Ranter.
What's up, Robert
is
Greenfield?
On the chat, and he's
I love Packer.
He's
Ranter.
Trolling.
Yeah,
he's trolling. He's pulling a Corey.
Oh,
Trolling on the chat, all and right. He's trying to egg people on about Tremont Williams. Everybody's asking on the chat. Anybody who's watched this show knows that I've resigned myself to
the fact that
he's going to get paid and he's going to go somewhere else. Now, the difference between Tremont Williams leaving is we have Devon House and
maybe.
We have...
He's a free agent.
Come on, we're going to get Devon House. There is no way...
Although he wants to start, which I think is funny, but...
There is no way. If Tremont goes, there is no way we don't lock up House. Yeah.
I would tend to agree with that.
Come on.
I could see him letting him go. We'll see. We'll see.
Okay. So basically, we're not winning the Super Bowl.
Just stop.
Awesome.
It's March 4th.
Awesome.
Player acquisition hasn't even started yet.
Cancel transplants for 2015.
You are just like, you're the worst, dude. You're just the worst. There's so many moving parts.
I'm
dude.
Still upset with Brandon Bostic, dude. I'm sorry. I can't help it. I can't help it. I'm just really upset about it.
Here's the thing with Tremont, though, which I find interesting. I'm glad you brought him up. He hired a new, not agent, is an agent, a marketing guy? I don't know. He hired someone. And it was funny because on Twitter, they were, happy to have you on board, Tremont. And Tremont... Yeah, great. I'm excited.
Could he hire Mayfield or something?
No, it wasn't Mayfield. It was somebody I'm not familiar with, etc. They were going back and forth on Twitter. And some fan, responded to the tweet chain and was like, and not a lot of people, it didn't get a ton of kind of notice, I guess, at the time. But some fan was like, I can't remember if they were responding to me because I retweeted it. But they were like, I wonder if this means that Tremont is gone next year for good. Or for sure, that was it, for sure. I wonder if this means for sure that Tremont is gone. And Tremont retweeted that tweet. And I was like, oh, this just got real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think there have been talks. Because I've talked to a few people with the Packers who it just sounds like that, you know, it's done. It's game over. It's thank you, here's your gold watch. Thank you for your service. And bye-bye. Like, it was like Cullen Jenkins. Remember Cullen Jenkins? was begging the Packers to stick around, like, and they wouldn't even take his calls. That's kind of the vibe I'm getting from Tremont and the Packers, which sucks. But
it is what it is.
You are a certain age, and you're making a certain amount of money.
I mean, I hate it. I thought he had a good year. I didn't think he had a great year.
He did have a good year.
He had a good year.
He did have a good year.
And I don't think that fans... I don't think most fans...
Fans, like, what I hate is, like, did you see the last play?
Of course.
Yeah. Did you see the two other 1,000 plays he had during the season? And tell me how he did on all of those before you point to one.
I think it goes to the complexity of the game for at cornerback, honestly.
Absolutely.
And I think if you don't watch tape, which I don't watch a lot of tape, I look to you for that. Mm-hmm. But I always ask you, like, who did, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think if you don't think about the complexity of the game in certain positions, like, you're just going to think people are bad based off plays. And
it's
lot easier to think somebody played bad because they had one bad play.
Especially at corner.
Exactly.
Especially on broadcast tape where you're just like, oh, he got beat on this play. Like Tremont in Dallas, or against Dallas, where he got beat for the touchdown. Everyone's like, oh, he had a horrible game. Actually, he had a pretty good game. He had one really bad play.
That's all it takes.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody remembers
it
that.
Sears it in people.
All right, we gotta do some business here.
All right, do it.
So,
this week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right. It's this week in the Packer Blogosphere. I can tell you are excited. I know I'm excited for the return. The annual tradition.
The 2015.
That is the Pro Football Draft Preview brought to you by CheeseheadTV.com.
Seriously, we are the only blog.
Is this what losers we are?
We are the only blog on the face of this planet that makes a Pro Football Draft Preview because... As we know about Packer fans, myself included, I do not watch college, okay, at all. So I look for this to tell me, okay, what do I need to be looking for? Because I get excited about the draft. I, you know, one of the most exciting moments in my life, and this is true. I wish I had a video camera to show myself. I don't know why, but I was very excited when Aaron Rodgers got drafted.
You were.
I was really excited. Like, I was like, he's going to drop. And it happened, and I love the draft. I don't know why. It's really nerdy. But Pro Football Draft Preview, you can get it at $6.99. We're doing pre-orders for like 3 weeks. But
And those of you who do pre-order, you will get a very special draft edition of Packer Transplants that is not available anywhere else.
No.
First time ever in the history.
Have like... I'm not sure how I'm going to do it, but you're going to have like some special access code and you'll be able to watch a Packer Transplants, and I'll probably cry on it because we probably will have not signed Randall Cobb.
But it will be a special, first time only, special draft guide only edition of Packer Transplants available to those of you who pre-order. I know Matt Miller from Bleacher Report, my ex-colleague, he has said he'll come on. He'll help us break down the needs and who Packers... fans can expect Ted Thompson to be looking
at. Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's going to be here. So that'll be in. I'm angling for a few other special guests. So it'll be fun.
Wow.
It'll be a good time.
I didn't know any of this.
I know.
I just learned it.
Breaking news right here.
But buy it, people.
Do it.
We've had hundreds buy it so far, but
you could be 101.
Part of the crowd. All right, so are we really going to do this?
Let's do it, dude.
I'm really scared.
Don't be scared, Corey.
I'm scared.
Embrace your fear.
All right, people. Oh, my goodness. All right, I'm turning on Skype.
If no one calls, we should just call Domofsky. I love it. Okay.
We got some Skype.
All right.
Let's see. Oh, man, we got like 20 voicemails.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Let's see what people...
Wow, we have like 4 people who called twice.
All right. Okay, just chill.
Let's see if anybody calls now.
Just chill, people.
I don't think that's the right number.
What are you talking about? It's 20 people just called, you said.
Yeah, but that doesn't...
So I think it's the right number.
Is that the one you tweeted?
Yes. Well, I hope so. 20 people just called.
Okay, you can call. You can do it.
See, but they're on a delay.
Nobody wants to.
Wait a second. Like, play a voicemail.
Nobody wants me to yell at them. That's what they're saying in the chat.
Yeah, they're probably smart. They're smart people. Let me tell you, people, this is what I go through every week. During the season. There you go. Here we go. G-Set TV live. You're on the line. Who is this?
This is Eric from D.C. How you guys doing?
We're doing well, man. How are you?
I am fantastic and thrilled to see you guys back on the air. I wanted to call and ask if you think that nose tackle is probably the position that could make the biggest difference on the Packers defense in 2015.
And what was your name again?
Eric from D.C.
My name is Eric. I'm from D.C.
Eric, thank you so much. Dude, that is a great question. I think it's something that has not been addressed a whole hell of a lot this offseason, probably because, you know, Packer blogs are having special shows about Randall Cobb. But I've seen a lot of chatter about the inside linebacker position, obviously in need of a makeover because of, everything that's going on there. I've seen a lot of chatter about, just a lot of things when it comes to the draft, but I haven't heard a whole lot about the defensive line / nose tackle. And I think there's a good chance that you look at the draft, how the board falls, how it could fall in regards to the first round, where guys are going to be. I could see someone like Brown out of Texas being available there, and the Packers maybe going that direction. Obviously, with Ted, anything is possible. Wouldn't surprise me to see a tight end get taken there. Wouldn't surprise me to see him kind of clear out of the whole first round and drop back like he did when he got Jordy Nelson and drop back to the second round. But yes, I think, you look at the report from Packer Report from our friend Bill Huber about B.J. Raji supposedly on his way back into the fold. Who knows what's going on with LaTroy Guillon, although he's not going to go to jail, so that's a step in the right direction. I know the Packers want him back, and you got to think they can get him dirt cheap, but neither of them are a true nose tackle. I don't know. We'll see. It'll be fun to watch how the draft plays out. But yes, Eric, I think it's definitely a possibility, and I think it's definitely something that doesn't get, for whatever reason, hasn't gotten talked about, and there hasn't been a whole lot of oxygen there in the media. But I definitely think that's some place that's something that they have to look at. It's interesting though, talking to a couple of guys in the personnel department last summer when B.J. Raji went down. And there was all sorts of talk in the media about how they hadn't shored up the defensive line. They didn't have a ton of big bodies, et cetera, et cetera. I talked to one personnel guy and one scout, and both of them were like, how many times in our defense do you see Dom put, somebody over the center, like directly head up on the center? It rarely happens, if ever. So they've kind of just stopped even looking at true nose tackles. Now, that doesn't mean, like, if a guy jumps off the tape and they think he's worth it and they think he's a hell of a player, et cetera, and Dom could use him in a certain way, that they're not going to look at him. But I found that incredibly telling, like, almost frustrating, where we're in so much 2-4-5 nickel, that they're just like, okay, we're not even going to worry about a nose tackle.
That was the longest answer of all time, by the way.
I know, well, I'm just...
People are trying to call.
All right, so have them call. Sorry. I just thought it was a great question. Well, blame him, dude. He asked a great question.
Hi, you're on the line with Cheesehead TV.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how you doing?
Good, good.
What's up, man? What's your question?
With looking at the recent Super Bowl winners, doesn't it kind of show that the big wide receiver core doesn't really matter?
That is an excellent question.
Can you say your name and where you're from?
I'm Andy. I'm actually in Canada, in Dryden, Ontario.
There wow. you go. Come on, Andy. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Thanks.
Yes, totally, totally agree that you look at teams like Seattle, teams like the Patriots, where they don't have big-time wide receivers. They certainly haven't gone out and busted big bank on trying to get guys in free agency. They haven't paid their own or drafted them. Of course, you could say the Patriots have sucked at drafting wide receivers. Yeah. That's kind of why. Although they didn't want to break the bank for Wes Welker. They let him walk out the door. And he was a great slot receiver that they allowed to walk and go to a AFC competitor. I think that kind of speaks to what I was saying before in regards to, you know, he's a very good football player, Randall Cobb. He's not irreplaceable.
I disagree.
Production-wise.
I disagree.
We know you disagree.
I disagree.
Let's go to some more calls.
11th in yards, 9th in reception.
Dude,
this is in the NFL.
None of that means
7th
anything.
In yards after the catch, 3rd in 20-plus yards, 24 receptions of 20-plus yards or more, and 4th, number 4, okay? There's only 4 teams that go to the NFL NFC Championship. Market freaking zero.
And let me tell
you, he is a difference maker. Anybody who says differently is pulling your leg.
Let me tell you something.
That includes Aaron Nagler, sports analyst with
NFL analyst.
That's right.
Looking for.
I actually was looking for Sports Illustrated, but I almost said Bleacher Report.
Whatever.
Oops.
No one knows where I am.
Yeah.
As Rich Eisen,
you're worse
said,
than Peter King. You know what? Peter King just went up a notch, you went down a notch in my book.
My favorite thing ever is when Rich Eisen said, "I'm the upwardly mobile Aaron Nagler." That's what I like to hear.
We will stay at Still Hickey Calls. We got like 6 minutes till 10, but I don't think anybody wants to call. By the way,
Randall Cobb was calling just
don't
then
be
when, I was, when I was like,
don't be mad if I hang up on you after your question. I'm just trying to get rid of the echo. ask their question, then I hang up on
you
them.
You should play some of the voicemails. I would love to hear it.
I don't know how to do that. Why are you putting me on the spot?
Oh my God. I love it.
Okay, somebody call.
All right. See, you were bitching about me.
You like took like 10 minutes with
long.
An answer. I didn't even know what you were
really
talking
good
about.
Question.
I didn't actually.
It was
I stopped
about nose tackles.
Oh, but BJ Raji's really coming back, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's not a true nose.
What is he?
You
then?
Don't care. You just don't care.
We got LaTroy Guy on.
Oh, yeah, if he doesn't get like put in the slammer, which he's not supposed to. Cheesehead TV, you're on the air. Who is this?
Scott.
Scott, you sound very serious, buddy. What's up?
Well, we're all serious about Mr. Cobb leaving, and we all agreed that we want him to stay. Here's the big issue. 2 years ago, we lost our quarterback for several games.
Right.
Where do we go there? Is it Flynn, Tolzien, or are we going someplace
else? That's a good question. Scott, where are you from?
Iowa,
nice.
Scott, love it in Iowa. Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Excellent question. I know that there was a great article a couple days ago, maybe last week, from Pete Doherty in the Green Bay Press Gazette regarding how Scott Tolzien should be the backup and they should look to draft somebody. I could not agree with that sentiment more. Anyone who follows me on Twitter knows I think it was a waste of a roster spot on Matt Flynn last year. Bless him for what he did the previous year. But last year, it's pretty clear that he and his arm are toast. It's done. It's over. As the great line from Cinderella Man, whatever he was going to do in boxing, I guess he's already done. That applies to Matt Flynn in the NFL. So, yes, I think absolutely they should bring back Scott Tolzien. I think he should have been the backup last year. I think he will be the backup this year, and I think they will draft someone probably later rounds, although it'll be interesting to see what their comp pick situation is like. I think if there's a year that Ted is finally going to get serious about, you know, going the Ron Wolf route and getting somebody, always behind Aaron and whoever's behind him in regards to having a rookie quarterback in the stable, this is the year to do it.
All right. Oh, we got a call coming in.
Do we? We have a call coming in? It's Cheesehead TV. You're on the air. Who is this?
Backup, and they
should... Oh. They didn't like us.
No,
they,
you could hear.
It was the
you
pressure. I know they
talking.
Were listening. They were listening.
They were listening, and then they were
it was
like...
the pressure. They couldn't take it.
All right. We're going to...
That was like Matt Flynn in the pocket right there.
Well, I think they were ringing for a while, and then I just saw they were ringing. Mm-hmm. I'm not very good at this.
It's new to us. We should do this every week, dude.
We really can't, though.
It's pretty hot.
But we can't, though.
We can.
The viewership is going down.
It's a live 5 minutes. Who cares? Who cares? The last 5 minutes.
If you took a little bit less time answering questions,
shut the fuck up.
It would be a little bit better.
If you were a little quicker on the draw, maybe. Okay, Corey. Riddle me this.
Yeah. We are taking calls still, people.
Riddle me this, Corey Banky.
Yes.
Let's say the Packers do get to the Super Bowl without Randall Cobb next year.
Yep.
All right, let's just say that happens.
Guess what? I'll be there.
Of course, as will I.
Yep.
Let's say that happens.
Yep.
What are you prepared to do in penance for that tweet?
I don't know. What do you want me to do?
That's a hot answer.
What do you want me to do?
I'm going
to
think about it. I'm going to think about it. I got all year to think about it. Man, there are some great questions. That's what I'm talking about. See, those are... We gotta open up the phones every week. Like those, some of the nose tackle, the quarterback. Like that's great stuff.
People have already left, though.
I know.
Like a lot of people left.
They got their answers, and they're like, "I'm out.
See you."
All right, maybe we should wrap it up.
Well, we have like a minute. If people want to call, we can.
A whole minute. We could solve some serious problems with a minute.
All right, let's close it down.
All right, that's how we do it, ladies and gentlemen. That's how we roll.
Thanks, everyone,
for
calling.
That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who connected with us on the live chat and by calling
in. Do you want to take it?
Yeah, why the hell not?
Oh,
no. People.
That was hilarious.
Oh, they heard me. They heard me. They heard me wrapping it up. They heard you wrapping it up. You guys really helped make this a unique fan experience where you call in and then we hang up and then you call in and we hang up. Seriously, though, we will get this straight with the calls because it is fun and we love talking to you guys. Especially when you ask such great questions like you did this week. Don't worry about Corey. I'll bring him around. He's trepidatious. But it'll happen. It's Packer Transplants. We will be back. Like we said, make sure you get the draft guide.
Get the draft guide.
We will have a special pre-draft edition only available for those of you with the draft guide. And then we will have a post-draft edition of Packer Transplants. It's going to be awesome. And then we'll probably have one or two more throughout the offseason. So make sure you check back. Make sure you're checking cheeseheadtv.com every day for all your Packers needs. Thank you so much for Corey. It's Aaron. Go Pack, go.
Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?